I'm going to be honest with you. I had a completely different direction I wanted to take this episode in. But as I was doing research, it kind of took on a life of its own. So up next, we have Bigfoot. Maybe. Possibly. You'll see what I'm talking about when we get there. Anyway, this is Star Queen Paranormal. Stay tuned. Sometimes things are a bit off. It's human nature to seek answers, but sometimes there are no answers. Star Queen Paranormal is here to help not make any progress on finding those answers. Stare deeply into the void and ask it, "Hey Void, why are you staring back?" Impress your friends at parties with your vast knowledge of controversial topics. The everyday that makes you say, "Hey." Star Queen Paranormal is here to keep that awe and mystery alive, to light the spark of curiosity, to delve a little deeper into the unseen. For the enthusiasts of the strange and extraordinary, align the stars with the bizarre. This is Star Queen Paranormal. Howdy, Star Dusties! This is your pilot of the Poltergeists. Space pirate, flight attendant of the mothership, enthusiast of the strange and extraordinary, and that tingly feeling you get when your foot falls asleep. I am Starship Captain Exy. And as always, I have a little disclaimer for you. The point of this podcast is not to convince anyone that any of this is real, as life requires a healthy dose of skepticism. Our goal is to present information for you to formulate your own opinions and ideas on some of the more curious subjects of our reality. Not to change your mind, but to broaden it. To present the idea. Because in the great words of Oscar Wilde, an idea that is not dangerous is unworthy of being called an idea at all. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the very fourth episode of Star Queen Paranormal. To celebrate the number four, I thought I'd give you some facts on the number four. Spiritual facts, I guess. So, not facts at all, really. Just some stuff on the number four, I suppose. On a post on numerology, on a website called astroyogi.com, it is said that the number four is believed to be the perfect number by Pythagoreans. Four represents stability, order, conscientiousness, and determination. Everything is made of four elements: earth, water, air, and fire. Four is also a feminine number. On a website called wellandgood.com, four is an angel number that represents the number of support and stability in the four different areas of stability: physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. And, interestingly enough, in feng shui, the number four also symbolizes stability and a strong foundation, but is sometimes considered an unlucky number because it sounds like the word death in certain Chinese dialects. So anyway, this is my fourth episode, and that was random stuff about the number four. Ah, ah, ah. So yeah, this is my fourth episode, and if you are returning, welcome back, my little Stardusties. And if you're new here, welcome to the show. We hope you like what you hear. And by we, I mean me. The royal we. So before I get into Terrible Tarot, I want to just kind of talk about what today's episode is going to be about. My original goal for this episode was to kind of come up with some of the more lesser known ideas about Bigfoot that maybe like a lot of Bigfoot hunters and people in the Bigfoot community know, but your everyday person, not so much. So the idea that perhaps Bigfoot can cloak like the Predator, or the idea that he's interdimensional. And I say he, but I've never really asked Bigfoot how they identify. But yeah, the idea that Bigfoot can cloak or hop dimensions, and some of the other North American cryptids too, that's a big belief. Tree knocking, tree formation, where Bigfoot is usually found. Interestingly enough, there is some kind of Bigfoot equivalent on almost every continent except Antarctica, which, side note, Antarctica's going to get its own episode because I love it so much, but for other reasons, non-Bigfoot reasons. So this is going to be the first episode of Bigfoot, but it's not going to be introductory to some of those stranger stories of Bigfoot. So when you research things for the paranormal type shows, it's really hard to find sources that people would find credible. And that's the nature of the paranormal research, I suppose. And so while I was researching some of the lesser known Bigfoot stuff, I actually stumbled across a couple stories that aren't Bigfoot, but might be Bigfoot, that I found interesting. So this isn't my official first episode of Bigfoot. It's going to be kind of a Bigfoot, probably, because the stories were interesting. And of course, being a paranormal show, I'm going to come back to Bigfoot a bunch, probably, because I know there's a lot of fans out there. And as one of my first Patreon exclusives, I'm going to share my very boring Bigfoot sighting story. So if you subscribe to Patreon, you can listen to that. But I will say that immediately after I'd seen Bigfoot, I called my dad and told him because he's a big Bigfoot fan. And right after, we were at an event where there was a lot of family and friends of the family, because that's what I was driving to when I had my sighting. And my father, who I know is very proud of me, but instead of introducing me as his daughter who graduated with honors, instead of introducing me as his daughter who had wonderful children, who was a published author and a blogger for a respectable blog at the time, my father, instead of introducing me by my merits and achievements, introduced me as his daughter that has seen Bigfoot, which I kind of like better than my achievements anyway. So Dad, if you're hearing this, this will be the first of many Bigfoot episodes. And if I forget to say it in a future episode, all Bigfoot episodes will be dedicated to my father. Which, if I'm a good noodle and I edit things in a proper amount of time, this episode will air just before Father's Day anyway. Speaking of which, my episodes drop on Friday at noon Central Time, and I do record them in advance. So if some big news event happens and I don't cover it in my podcast, it's because I didn't know about it, and I am not a time traveler. Or am I? Maybe I am. I'm not a very good time traveler. Anyway, that was a really wordy introduction today. It's Terrible and Tarot, but it's my show, so you know. It's Terrible Tarot. So this is a segment I like to call Terrible Tarot. And as I was reaching for my cards, they all fell on the ground. So do I blame my clumsiness, or do I make it a sign? Let's say it's a sign. I don't know what the sign is. I guess hurry up and do Terrible Tarot. That's my sign. So why is it terrible? Well, I am not an identified psychic. I have like enough of an idea of what the cards mean to kind of make up a story about them, but you should take this seriously because I'm making it all up as I go, baby. Yeah. It is a regular Rider-Waite deck. And hey, if you're not into tarot, that's cool. You can just like skip over this part, because I don't want to get you in trouble with whatever your belief system is with my devil cards. But I like reading tarot, so. So your cards for today are Temperance, the Ten of Cups, ooh, and the Ace of Cups. And since I'm not on video, I'm going to have to describe these for you. Temperance is an angel who is pouring one cup of water into another. And then there's like a crown in the background and a path and some daffodils. The Ten of Cups is a rainbow full of cups, and it's a happy family celebrating underneath. And the Ace of Cups is a hand outstretched with a cup or chalice, and the cup is overflowing with water into a pond or a lake of some sort. So my terrible interpretation of today's reading is that you have been very patient. And you've received some inner guidance. about divine timing. And you know, if you keep waiting and you keep balancing, you keep just being grounded and stable in yourself, you're going to have your happily ever after. And your happily ever after is going to be abundant and overflowing with love and joy and happiness. So if you don't normally do tarot readings, I suggest you take this reading because this is a very good one. Wait and be patient, and you're going to have good things, but it's going to be more than you expected. Like, more good things, more good abundance than you expected. And that is my terrible interpretation of the tarot for today. And today's quote from whatever I feel like quoting is from the movie The Imagination Game. Sometimes it is the people who no one imagines anything of who do the things that no one can imagine. In today's bizarre news, comes from AP News from May 6th, by the way. A thrift store find in Texas turns out to be an ancient Roman bust. In San Antonio, an art collector named Laura Young purchased a marble bust for $35 from a local thrift store. It was a Goodwill. Some experts inspected it and determined it was a centuries-old Roman bust missing from Germany. According to the San Antonio Museum of Art, it once belonged to the collection of King Ludwig I of Bavaria. The San Antonio Museum is temporarily displaying the piece until it is returned to Germany next year. It is dated from either 1st century BC to 1st century AD. Historians believe it may depict a son of Pompey the Great, who was defeated in civil war by Julius Caesar. The sculpture was last seen in... Oh boy, my German is going to... Ooh, okay. Aschaffenburg, Germany. And experts believe a soldier took the sculpture and brought it to the United States. So if you enjoy treasure hunting at thrift stores, keep your eyes peeled. Because you just might find something of historic significance. And just a quick paranormal thing I found on the internet. This is a news story from 6 ABC Philadelphia on Tuesday, November 30th, 2021. A Bucks County, Pennsylvania mayor says that he believes in Bigfoot based on an experience he had in July of 1984. He was on a camping trip in Pike County. His name is Greg Stokes, by the way. He was on a camping trip when he recalls hearing something large and menacing on 2 feet rustling outside of his tent. Then he heard a scream, and it still haunts him to this day. The quote in the article says, "This thing let out a scream from hell. It sat bolt upright in my tent. This thing vibrated my body so hard, I couldn't see the inside of the tent. It had this huge, huge resonance, and it was close enough to me that I could hear its lips pop apart when it actually started to scream. It was a very, very low guttural tone." Mayor Stokes says that he's 99% sure it was Bigfoot, but he leaves that 1% of doubt only because he didn't actually see it, which will tie in perfectly with my following stories after the break. So, I've got to go valet park this spacecraft that just came in. Be back in a moment.
Hey! Welcome to Shamblefest!
I'm Jess.
I'm Amber. And we are your one-stop weekly shop for news shambles.
We're a weekly WTF and current events comedy podcast. We drop episodes every Monday morning. Tune in.
Shamble on!
I'm back. Where are you? Where are you? Actually, just a side point here. I don't remember what show it was. But anyone who's interested in ghosts and EVP, one of my absolute favorite EVPs was, and I don't remember the story, but it was some kind of princess who used to stay at a hotel. The paranormal researchers asked, "Where are you?" And the response was a very clear, prim and proper voice saying, "I'm here. Where are you?" I'm going to have to go find that and discuss EVP and paranormal research a little more in the future. But we're not here for paranormal research. No, my guy, or gal, or person, or however you want to be called or addressed. We're here for Bigfoot, maybe. Possibly. So as I said earlier, when you research things like Bigfoot, a lot of the sources are just kind of like, "Trust me, bro." And since I was looking for more obscure Bigfoot facts, a lot of the articles were Bigfoot is interdimensional, Bigfoot is associated with aliens, and these are all really cool and interesting articles and ideas, but I kind of wanted something that was a little bit more believable. So I happened across a lot of references to President Theodore Roosevelt, and he wrote of coming across people who have dealt with supernatural forces in the woods, one of them possibly being Bigfoot. So Theodore Roosevelt was a known wilderness enthusiast and hunter, and he wrote several stories in his book, The Wilderness Hunter. So one source talks about, and I'm not going to quote it, but Roosevelt had run into a guide in the woods who cautioned him about being alone in the forest at night because of what Roosevelt eventually came to believe was about hobgoblins. But in another passage in the same book, Roosevelt describes a conversation with a mountain man named Bauman. In the recounting of Bauman's story, he and a friend had gone hunting and trapping along the Wisdom River, and it was starting to get dark, and they had known that the year prior that some random hunter was out in the woods and he had been slain, but they were adventurous and they were in search of beavers, so they made camp. They left to go hunt and trap. When they came back, they found that their campsite had been rummaged through by some kind of large beast, and they thought it was a bear, but the bear's footprints were rather plain. The quote in the book actually says, "The footprints of the beast were quite plain, but at first they paid no particular heed to them, busying themselves with rebuilding the lean-to, laying out their beds and stores, and lighting the fire. While Bauman was making ready supper, it being already dark, his companion began to examine the tracks more closely, and soon took a brand from the fire to follow them up. Where the intruder had walked along a game trail after leaving the camp, when the brand flickered out, he returned and took another, repeating his inspection of the footprints very closely. Coming back to the fire, he stood by it a minute or two, peering out into the darkness, and suddenly remarked, 'Bauman, that bear has been walking on two legs.'" So then it talks about how Bauman and his partner stayed up examining the tracks, and indeed discussing that it was caused by something on 2 feet, but that the tracks weren't human, and they decided that they were going to investigate it a little more when they woke up. "At midnight, Bauman was awakened by some noise and sat up in his blankets. As he did so, his nostrils were struck by a strong, wild beast odor, and he caught the loom of a great body in the darkness at the mouth of the lean-to. Grasping his rifle, he fired at the vague, threatening shadow, but must have missed, for immediately afterwards he heard the smashing of the underwood as the thing, whatever it was, rushed off into the impenetrable blackness of the forest and the night." So then it says that Bauman hadn't heard anything the rest of the night, so he and his partner woke up the next morning, and they went out to go set some traps. They came back, and the lean-to had once again been torn down. The camp was ransacked, and the ground was covered in weird footprints again. And it did seem like these footprints came from a creature walking on two legs. They made campfire. And at about midnight, it says that the thing came down through the forest opposite across the brook and stayed there on the hillside for nearly an hour. They could hear branches crackle as it moved about, and several times it uttered a harsh, grating, long-drawn moan, a peculiarly sinister sound. But the creature did not venture near the fire. So the next morning they go out and they get their traps. But both of them agreed that they felt like they were being followed. They returned to camp, but they still had 3 traps that were out, so Bauman volunteered to go get them. It took him several hours to secure them and prepare them for beavers, but he noted that he started to feel uneasy as the sun was getting low. As he got closer to camp, he realized the campfire had gone out, though the thin blue smoke was still curling upward. He shouted for his friend, but didn't see him. He noticed their packs were packed, but he didn't see his friend, so he shouted again. Stepping forward as he again shouted, and as he did, his eye fell on the body of his friend, stretched beside the trunk of a great fallen spruce. Rushing towards it, the horrified trapper found that the body was still warm, but the neck was broken, while there were four great fang marks in the throat. The footprints of the unknown beast creature, printed deep in the soft soil, told the whole story. The unfortunate man, having finished his packing, had sat down on the spruce log with his face to the fire and his back to the dense woods to wait for his companion. While thus waiting, his monstrous assailant, which must have been lurking in the woods, waiting for a chance to catch one of the adventurers, unprepared, came silently up from behind, walking with long, noiseless steps, and seemingly still on two legs. Evidently unheard, it reached the man and broke his neck by wrenching his head back with its forepaws while it buried its teeth into its throat. It had not eaten the body, but apparently had romped and gambolled around in it uncouth, ferocious glee, occasionally rolling over and over, and had then fled back into the soundless depths of the woods. Bauman, utterly unnerved and believing that the creature with which he had to deal with was something either half-human or half-devil or some great goblin beast, abandoned everything but his rifle and struck off at speed down the pass, not halting until he reached the beaver meadows where the hobbled ponies were still grazing. Mounting, he rode onwards through the night until beyond reach of pursuit. So Roosevelt wrote about an adventurer he found credible, and a story he found incredible. And again, that book was The Wilderness Hunter by Theodore Roosevelt. And I know I'm already past my usual amount of time, but I wanted to quickly talk about another story that I found. And you can find this story, like the full version, from Barbara Shoup, who is a Bigfoot hunter I follow on YouTube. And actually, she's got one of the more famous Bigfoot videos where they're talking and then this like predator-like invisible creature moves behind them. And it's clearly the shape of some kind of humanoid. This is a story from someone she trusts, a Greenwater local, who believed that they were chased by a cloaked Bigfoot. And they told the story to Barbara because she's kind of famous for the cloaked Bigfoot video. So the witness had access to some private land and they did some exploring, had their dog with them. But it was time for them to go home, so they got in their truck and they started to drive away from this private land. So they turned around in the forest, and the witness described seeing a green dot on their passenger side mirror. At first, the witness says that they thought it was a sticker, but then realized the green dot was getting closer and closer. And then the witness realizes it's some kind of big tree coming toward them, coming toward the vehicle. So the driver says that they try to keep calm and keep their truck steady. I think it's a truck. They wanted to roll up the window by their dog, but they wanted to focus on getting away from this tree that's chasing them. So after some really stressful driving, the driver eventually comes to a turn. They made a 90-degree left turn and watched the mirror to see what was going on with the tree. The tree squatted down in the intersection until... I'm sorry, the car is a Jeep because I'm just now reading what I wrote. The tree squatted down in that intersection and it looked like whatever was chasing them with the tree just kind of sat there and, you know, did the fuzzy Lumpkins thing of, "Get off my property!" Which the witness says that they had permission to be on the property from the human owner. But the story they wrote in to Barbara, because they were messaging back and forth when this happened, the reason they sent the story to Barbara was because they supposed it was a cloaked Bigfoot who lifted a tree out of the ground and just kind of barreled toward them like Donkey Kong style. Also wanted to note that they described the tree as a man-shaped tree once they realized what the tree was. So Barbara tells the story a little bit better, and she received the story directly from the source. But she's a Sasquatch researcher from Washington State, and she's one of the better known ones in the Bigfoot community, I would think. She posted this story 5 years ago, and you can follow her on YouTube, Barbara Shoup, S-H-U-P-E. And I think sometimes she calls the channel Barb and Gabby. And so, Stardusties, I'd like to know your opinion. Do you believe in Bigfoot? I know that there's so many reported Bigfoot sightings. And still, there are a lot of people out there who don't believe, and that's okay too, because we have a lack of credible evidence. But I'd like to know your thoughts. I'd also like to know if you have your own Bigfoot stories, or ghost stories, or other cryptids that might call your name in the woods, or aliens even. So if you, or someone you love, has been afflicted with a paranormal story, we'd like to hear from you. Write us at starqueenparanormal@gmail.com. Find us at Star Queen Paranormal on Facebook. And on Instagram, we are Star Queen Paranormal, and that's all one word. I've also got a TikTok where I have no posts at all right now, but hopefully soon. Or perhaps you'd just like to throw some money at me. At us, the royal us. Subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/starqueenparanormal, where for as little as a dollar, you can access exclusive content, all while supporting a Star Queen in need. Hey, that's me! So, Stardusties, remember to recalibrate into the Matrix. Always remember to be mightier than the monsters. Until next time, on to the next phase in life. May your path be paved in starlight. Continue existing as you would, my dudes.